If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to a familiar verse of Scripture found in the book of Psalms, the 91st division. Believe in God to touch and minister today. Psalms 91, verse 1. Some of you might can quote this. It's amazing. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. For surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth a noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. For only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. For they shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under your feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. I want to talk to you today a simple sermon called Making God Your Dwelling Place. Somebody said, well, preacher, you're deviating from your sermon. No, getting back to the basics. We've talked about faith, we've talked about hope, we've talked about love, the remaining three. And we got through those. But now I want to talk to you about something that's just as basic in Christian living as you're going to find. And that is a microphone with no power. Testing 1, 2. Just had to go off and back on, then it'll run back down again. I'm going to get one of them things I can just plug in the bottom and it'll just keep going. Man, and I can see some of you going, we want one that's got a 30-minute limit. One of the biggest problems we have in Christianity is a lot of people like to love God at a distance. And then they walk around talking about, well, the Bible can't be true because I've had things in the Bible supposed to happen, didn't happen to me, but the Bible is true. The problem is you have got to stay close to God. I told this one Wednesday night, and I may have mentioned it again, but it is something I think is very important, about the old man and his wife riding down the road, and his wife looks over at him after 60 years of marriage. She said, I can remember when we used to sit right against each other, and said, now there's a whole seat between us. He's driving. He said, I hadn't moved. What's that got to do with church? If there's distance between you and God, He hadn't moved. He's not the one that makes the distance. It's us who allow ourselves to get out of His presence, who allow ourselves to get out of His love, who allow ourselves to get out of what God's got for us. But if we'll make God our dwelling place, we have promises in the Word of God that He's going to take care of us, that He's going to carry us and help us. You say, preacher, what about the devil? My Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp round about those that love Him and keep His commandments. And as long as they're around me, I ain't got to worry about some little imp or wimp demon or somebody else out of hell. The devil himself can't touch me long as God doesn't want it to happen. You say, preacher, you can't prove that. He had to ask permission to get to Job. What about Job? You won't let me touch him. God said, go for it. Hello? Somebody said, what are you getting at, preacher? God's no respect of person. So the devil can't get to you and I long as we're where we're supposed to be in him, unless God says, okay, he can handle it, go for it. Amen. You say, well, why did God let the devil get to Job? Because he wanted to prove to Job and to the devil something the devil insinuated. Let me do this to him and he'll curse you. He'll deny you because the only reason he serves you is because you take care of him, you provide for him, you give to him. And God said, okay, take it away. See what happens. Can you imagine in heaven what was going on when all of a sudden Job's family's gone, his herds have been stolen, and instead of cursing God and doing what the devil said he'd do, the Bible said he fell on his face and began to worship God. I can see God looking at the 420 elders and said, come here, guys. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how it's supposed to happen. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter whether you're on the mountain, in the valley, in a fire furnace, or where you're at. You still got to have praise on your lips, and you still got to magnify him. And when you do that, you're showing the angels how to operate. Amen? And the devil turned and said, well, let me afflict him. Let me get after him. He'll do it now. Next thing you know, Job's got all kind of physical problems. He's in trouble. But he turns around and they said, why don't you just curse God and die? Make it easy on yourself. He said, hey, after the skin worms have destroyed this body, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to magnify him. Why? Because I know my Redeemer liveth. That's my hope. I've not got any hope in this world of anything working out the way I want it to, but I got hope in the world on the other side. I'm not going to have any more pain, no more heartache, no more trouble, no more trials, because my God is alive and I know I'm going to see him. Could you say amen? Psalms 91, he said this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Now, the word shadow simply means his tent. If you go to the Middle East, you get around the Bedouins, they call their tents their shadow. They're out in the middle of a field, they put the tent up, they got a shadow. It's the only shadow you're going to find. It's almost as bad as out west. You'd be in bad shape if you're over in a logging company in some parts of Montana. Hello. If you've never been there, you won't understand it, but you'll be riding out there and seeing miles of acreage, and suddenly there's a tree in the middle. You'll see something standing under the tree because that's the only tree out there. I can see some guy, I'm going to Montana on the log. You can't go to Montana on the log. There ain't enough logs to log. Amen. But if you get into his tent, I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but if you knock on the door of somebody's tent in the Middle East, even if you're a stranger, especially if you're a stranger, they're not allowed by custom to deny you. They have to let you in. They have to feed you. They have to clothe you a little bit. If you're not clothed, they have to take care of you if you're hurt. They can't put you back out. It's against their way of doing life. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I tried it one time. There was a guy cooking falafels on the side of the road, and I walked up, and I said, man, I'd like to have one of them falafels. He said, 50 cent. I said, I don't have 50 cent. He said, I don't know what he said. It probably wasn't good, and I'm glad I couldn't understand what he was saying. But I ate that falafel and loved every minute of it. Somebody said, well, preacher, do you have 50 cent? Nope, made sure I didn't have nothing in my pocket when I walked over so I could tell him I didn't have nothing. Just to see if he would do it. He'd have told me no, I'd have walked on and said, well, that didn't work, but it worked. Amen. Notice this, because you have made the Lord his refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. That's the important part. Where do you dwell today? In the spiritual realm. You say, what are you talking about? You ever notice, church, that one of the biggest problems we have in this world is getting still and doing nothing? Amen. Well, no, I take it back. I know some of you, that's a big problem. But, you know, most of us, we get up in the morning, we're wide open all day long. But do you realize getting alone and sitting still with God, spending time in the spiritual realm with him can change your life? And we need to understand what we need more than anything else is to get into the dwelling place of God and to stay there and to get into that place and live there. Amen. Do you realize Psalms 91 is one of the most quoted psalms in the Bible, second only to the Psalm 23? We like to quote it. We like to talk about it. The psalmist admonishes us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The Hebrew word used here for dwell is yeshiva, which means to dwell, to sit down, to remain. That means we're supposed to get to that place where we remain in God. Somebody said, well, preacher, I know Christians that don't do some things. Well, you know why? They're not in God. They're just a Christian. What are you talking about? You ever notice in the disciples there was a breakdown of who got close to God? He had 12 disciples, went with him everywhere. He had a bunch of folks that followed afar off. But out of that 12, there was only three got in the inner circle and went with him everywhere. And out of that three, there was only one laid his head on Jesus' chest. That's because you have to have the desire to get close enough to God to let things change in your life. But if you get close enough to dwell in his presence and not just in his territory. Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, why is that important? Well, notice there were some of the disciples that followed him around never got to see some of the miracles he'd done. They didn't see the little girl raised at Jairus' house. They weren't in the group. He just took those three that stayed with him everywhere. Those three went to him to the Mount of Transfiguration. They kept going with him. But do you realize one of them went with him all the way down to the judgment hall, followed him to the crucifixion and was in the grave and saw something in the grave that turned his whole life around? The rest of them running back, they stole his body and he come back, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. You say, why is that? Because he was the one that laid his head on his chest. So why is that? He was the one that heard the heartbeat of God. And when you get close enough, you hear the heartbeat to God. There's changes in your life. There's something about you that makes you different from everybody else you're around. Amen. Well, preacher, that's good, but everybody can't do that. Why? God's no respecter of person. There's nothing in your life that says you can't get in the secret place of God. You can't find a place to hide from him. You can't get to that place where everything around you doesn't matter because God's in charge. How would you like to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and find out you're fixing to go into a furnace? Man said a while ago, we got folks that said die for God won't go to church. We got folks in church that if a fellow walked through that back door and said, deny God, I'm going to shoot you. You'd go, oh, who's he? And don't look at me being mad. You want to live. You figure you pray through when it's over with. Your wife a trumpet sound while you was going, who is he? What if the guy went ahead and shot you anyway? He didn't like the way you looked. And you died, and the last thing out of your mouth was denying God the place he belonged in your life. Well, what would you do, preacher? I know in whom I believe. I ain't taking no chances. I'm getting out of here any way it goes. You know, I don't know if y'all have ever read any books by Mike Warnke. He was a satanic priest. And he said he run this old boy on the camp one day, and he was trying to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, I pulled a pistol out, stuck it in his stomach, said, hey, you mentioned God to me one more time, I'm going to blow your stomach out your back. And the Lord looked down and said, well, praise God. He said, I went, oh, my, this guy's real. And he said, I left him alone. He said, I was just giving him a shortcut to where he was wanting to go. Hello? You say, what'd that do for him? Mike Warnke became a minister of the gospel, traveled all over the world, telling jokes and preaching and carrying on the gospel for Jesus. Amen. Because those people got to him. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all have experienced these people that claim Christianity and don't live Christianity. And let's face it, they are Christians because Christian means I believe in Christ. But there are degrees of Christianity that one gets into. And what I'm talking to you about this morning is getting to that place where you live in him and you move in him and you abide in him. Somebody said, well, preacher, that's good. But how do you make God your dwelling place? I want to take this and look at it as an analogy of two people learning how to live together. First of all, if you're going to dwell in God, you've got to love to pray. People who stay together talk to each other. Hello? Have you ever heard somebody pray and they get down for 30 minutes, you can't hear nothing? They get up, they're coughing, they're choking, they're hoarse. They talk, well, I've been talking to God. That's not communication. That's why they don't ever hear from God. They never shut up long enough to let him say something. Glory. Prayer is communicating. Well, you pray a while, open up the Bible and begin to read a little bit. Somebody said, well, that's not praying. You pray a while, open this up, and God will speak to you because this is God's word. And it'll start giving you stuff, and you'll find stuff in here you never thought about. It's there. You've read it 100 times. But when it speaks to you, it kind of lights you up. Come on, church. Some of y'all act like y'all ain't never had that happen. I remember sitting in church one night, and the guy was quoting scripture. And I went, whoa, did you hear that? And the guy said, I've heard it 100 times. I said, not like I just did, buddy. Amen. There was something about the way that came to me that night was totally different from every way I ever heard it. And it birthed in me a reality of God I'd never felt before. And that's what the Word of God's all about. So we learn how to pray and we learn how to talk to God because we let God begin to move on us. Listen, the psalmist said in Psalms 105:3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the earth and them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. What's he talking about? Praying. We've got people that say they love to pray and never show up at prayer meeting. Go crank my car and pull it over here. It looks like I may need out over here in just a minute. I got some folks looking around, bless God. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. We've got people say they love to pray, and I bet you if you really asked them, they're as honest with themselves, they ain't prayed all week. Unless they said the blessing over the food before they ate because they're afraid God might make them sick if they didn't. Glory. I've told this before, but I lived in a family of a backslidden preacher. We never said grace. We just ate. We was there one morning. We go in there, and we sit down, and there's a guy from work there, and my dad looks up and said, say grace, son. Pray over the food, boy. I said, God is good. God is great. Slap some taters on my plate. I landed down the hall a little ways. He looked at my brother and he said, you think you can do it? Lord. My grandmother prayed every time we went there, and somebody said, why? I said, she ain't that good a cook. That's why she prayed over it. Glory. Come on, church. We say grace because we're thankful for God. Floyd Lahan, great man of God, a praying man, a man I really put a lot of confidence in. But I remember one time one young man went home with him. They sat down at the table, and the guy thinking there's going to be a long grace said, and he sat down, and Floyd said, thank you, Lord. Started eating. The guy looked at him. He said, huh? He said, what? He said, you're not very thankful. He said, no, I'm hungry right now. I'm thankful when I bring the food home. That's when I thank him for it. He said, when I sit down to eat, I'm ready to eat. I'm not going to take a lot of time. Glory. Hello? But the reality is, church, we've got to get to that place where prayer becomes a lifestyle. It's something we do because we want to do it. We miss the... Hey, some of you got certain people you talk to every day of your life on the telephone. Isn't God more important than people you call every day? Hello? Oh, that's good stuff right there. Amen. I know it don't make me popular, but it's good stuff. The Bible said we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Y'all say, well, preacher, you can't be praying right now. You're preaching. In my mind, I'm going, God, don't let me stick my foot too far down my throat. Glory. Because I have to make sure God's with me while I'm doing this. Amen. And you can pray in your mind while you're carrying on a conversation with somebody. And those of you have a hard time witnessing, if you're in touch with God, God can give you words to say that will blow the minds of those people you're talking to. And you can become an effective witness for him. Amen. I'm moving on. I understand. I got a clock right up here that says it's 12 o'clock. Look, you've got to love his house. People who stay together love the environment they stay in. They're happy, they're secure. They feel like their environment is a place where they don't have to worry. Amen. Notice what Psalms 122:1 said. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Amen. They didn't have to get up and beat the kids and tell them to get ready. They didn't have to drag one another. They didn't get up and flip a coin, see if they went this week or next week. They just got up going, hey, I get to go to church today. Amen. It's going to be awesome. I mean, they're going to sing. That preacher's going to preach for about 20, 30 minutes, and we're going to have church, and God's going to bless, and we're going to go home feeling wonderful. You got to love going to church, being in his presence. Listen, Psalmist said in 27th Psalm, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Amen. Glory. You got to love his house. You got to love him enough to communicate. But notice this. You also got to love his word. People who stay together eat together. Wait a minute, preacher. You said his word. This is the bread of life. And if you break this bread and eat it enough, it'll give you life. And then what he told the lady, he said, the water I'm going to give you, if you'll drink it, you'll never thirst again, because it will become a well of living water that'll burst forth into everlasting life. Amen. When the devil was tempting Christ in the wilderness, he said, turn the stone to bread that we can eat. He said, but it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. If I read this and I trust in this, this puts power and anointing in my spirit. Come on, church. Somebody said, preacher, I just don't have no joy. It's because you ain't been eating joy bread. Glory. Oh, I just don't feel good. It's because you ain't been eating the feel-good stuff. You don't even have to go on the internet to find it. It's right here. It's in the word of God. There's something here that'll put life in you like you've never had life before if you'll just read it. Could you say amen? The word of God is scripture. Jeremiah 15:16, when your word came, I ate them. They were my joy, my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. 1 Peter 2:2, a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Ezekiel 3, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the roll. He said, what are you talking about? God put the word in him and he came out with the word. Glory. Say, preacher, what good's that? Well, when Jesus was in the wilderness, every time the devil tried to tempt him, did he argue with him with theology? Did he give him his degrees from school he went to? Did he try to philosophize with him and blow his mind with philosophy? Did he use psychology on him? He simply said, it is written. The next time the devil comes to your house, you want to give him a black eye? Every time he says something, pop him with the word of God. Look at him and say, hey, it's written. I don't do that because in the word of God, you quote the word to him, it'll blow his mind. You say, well, preacher, that's great. Let me tell you something else. Next time you're praying, you start quoting this word to God, it'll mess him up. I don't know about y'all, but anytime somebody quotes something I said, it just kind of puts a little fire in me. Can you imagine? Because I'm built in the same way God is. You're built the same way God is. We were made after his image. Therefore, you ever notice people start quoting you and you're like, hey, they heard something I said. They remembered it. That's good. And I'm sitting there praying to God, God, I need you. You know what? You said in your word, you would provide my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You go, oh, that boy done read that. I got to live up to that now. Amen. Come on, church. I mean, you get him so excited. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. Y'all sitting there acting like, oh, I don't ever do that. You know as well as I do, your wife start talking, quote something you said, start talking about how good you are. You're a good husband. You're a good provider. You start walking a little stronger. Next thing you know, you're pulling out horses and saws and doing. You don't know what you're doing, but you've been doing something because they got you rolled up, buddy. Amen. God's same way with you. You want your wife to do something in the house. You don't walk in, yell out, and scream, throw stuff. You do, it ain't going to happen. You walk in, talking about, hey, baby, you're beautiful. She look at you and laugh sometimes, but sometimes you get that meal you want. Lord, hello? I might say, preacher, you're crazy. Might be. But you got to get to that place where you love God's word. You put it in your heart. You live by it. And you use it. I'm hurrying. Point four. You love his people. People who stay together love each other.
Folks, when you love somebody, you get by all the junk. Now, y'all know as well as I do, somebody been married a long time. First 6 months, you just loving each other. Everything's wonderful. Then all of a sudden you notice they suck their teeth. They snore at night. They burp after they eat. Some of y'all act like that don't happen at your house. You stick to noticing all them little things you didn't notice while you were so in love, you was blind. That's why I said love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opening experience. And all of a sudden you're seeing all that, but why do you stay with them? Because you love them enough that you overcome those things. Come on, church. You get in church, it's the same way. You love God's people. You might not love their ways. You might not love things about them, but you love them. Come on, church. Amen. You find people in other segments of the world. For instance, I have some people that are gay. I see them at Walmart. They'll come across Walmart and talk to me. You know why? I treat them like everybody else. I don't hate that person. I hate the sin that's got control of them, just like sin had control of me when I was a drug addict and alcoholic, and folks didn't want to do to me. I understood they were Christians in that community, wished I wasn't even around. They didn't treat me like they cared about me, and so that girl, I didn't care about them. But if you love people and you truly love them, it will get beyond anything you can ever do for them, and you may one day reach them where if you don't really love people, you're not ever going to be able to get to them. Could you say amen? Listen, the Bible didn't say I'm going to be a son of God when I get to heaven. It said, beloved, now we are the sons of God. What does that mean? I ought to take on the attributes of my Father. That means I love people and I care about people and I truly, truly do want to see something happen in their life, and that's got to be from everybody. We got folks that pick and choose who they're going to love. You can't do that. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. You're stuck with us. Amen. And you got to live with us whether you like it or not, because we're all part of the family of God. Could you say amen? Whew. I'm hurrying. What happens when we become our habitation? We get divine protection. Church, have y'all ever noticed what it said? He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be a shield and buckler. Glory. Have you ever been around chickens? Huh? Come on. Some of y'all act like you're so cityfied. I laughed the other day. There's a guy talking about, man, used to be nobody had chickens. Now even in the town they're getting chickens because the eggs is gone. So how are they raising chickens to get free eggs? Then I got some of you, I ain't eating them yard eggs. What's the difference between a yard egg and a processed egg, other than the fact they were fed grain, them other chickens was eating stuff off the ground? And a lady told me one time, I wouldn't eat no buzzard. I've seen what they eat. You wouldn't eat a turkey if you was in the woods and saw what they've been eating. Glory. They ain't picky either. Hello? But we used to have chickens. You go out in that yard and there'd be a bunch of little chicklets running around out there. Mama roll over and sat down, them chicklets are up. She'd throw a wing up. You best not get real close to mama while them chicklets was around there. You're going to deal with mama if you did. I know somebody said, well, I'll break her neck. That's if she don't claw you while you're trying. And when they come up with them arms fluttering and put them spurs out, they wear you out real quick like if you don't watch it. They ain't ready to be caught. They're mad. Come on, church, smile at me. Do any of y'all know what a killdee is? Killdee is a bird. I thought y'all were country folk. They're awesome. They live on top of the ground. They make the nest out of rocks. And they'll have the eggs, and the mom and daddy will stand around that nest, and if something comes up, one of them will run. Won't fly. They'll run. And they'll fall down and go, meh, meh, and they'll push their wing up like it's broke to try to get you over there. You start over there, and just before you get to them, they take off flying. You start back toward the nest, the other one takes off the other way. You can play with them all day long like that. But they'll do everything they can to keep you. And if you finally go to the nest, they can't keep you away. They will attack you because those babies are important to them. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? God is putting himself as if he's a chicken and we're his little chicklets. And if we get under his wing, he's going to protect us. We're going to be able to sit down and look out from under the feather and make fun of the devil and go, and he can't do nothing to us because we got God's protection. Come on, church. Y'all laughing, but that's the truth. He said, he's going to keep me from the noisome pestilence, from the arrows that fly by day, from the trouble that comes at night, from the snare of the fowler. Nothing is going to get to me. Why? Because I am in him. Listen, conclusion, sometime today. We make up our minds to move into the dwelling place of God and to take there with us all our possessions. Above all, those we love. We must hide ourselves in him from ourselves, always from others. We must lose sight of everything that is outside of him except as we see it through his eyes. Hello?
Well, preacher, you just don't know where I'm at.
Job lost everything he had, still loved God because he was looking at things through God's eyes.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in a furnace. It killed the guys throwing them in, but they survived, came out, and didn't even smell like smoke. Why? Because they were looking at it through the eyes of God. Daniel went in the lion's den with a bunch of hungry lions. King goes down the next morning. Daniel! Now, that was dumb unless he had a little bit of confidence. Daniel had something going. He had impressed the king enough, the king figured he might have made it. Went down to check. He said, Daniel, did you live? Did your God keep you? He said, live long, O king. I had a great time last night. God gave the lions lockjaw. We just had a big time. Jeremiah. He's called a weeping prophet for a reason. His life was horrible. Every time he looked up, he's getting thrown in jail just because he was a good man. And while in jail, he wrote these words. This I recall in my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. For the Lord is my portion, saith the soul. Therefore will I hope in him. For the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, that the soul will seek him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. How do we make it? We get in him. We stay in him. And in him, we overcome everything that comes at us if we make the Lord our dwelling place. Stand with me all over the house. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy. I ask God that you'd reach down and touch this house. Minister to us with your love. God, we know today that it is in you we live and move and we have our being. By you, God, that we are more than conquerors. And we ask, God, you would touch us today. Minister to us with your love. God, let your glory flow on us. For Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.